Well, howdy, howdy, folks. Welcome back to Hoot and a Half. I'm your host, Matt King.
And I'm Mike Sheffer.
And today we are joined by Lauren Riyamaki.
Nailed it.
Lauren Kobayashi Riyamaki.
Super triple nailed it.
Got it. I got it all. And Lauren, you may know her. She is now the host of the HBO Max reality show competition Craftopia. She is also the co-host of a podcast she has with her boyfriend Jeremy called Wild Till Nine that I have been on. If you haven't seen that episode, make sure you check it out.
That's a good one.
And she's also life guru, YouTube extraordinaire of her channel on YouTube, Lauren DIY.
Wow.
Lauren, welcome to the podcast.
I would like you to just walk around with me all the time when I meet someone to give that spiel.
Really? I felt like I could have added more things to it because you're also like what? An investor, a businesswoman.
Wow.
All these other titles I could have added.
That
but
was
you know,
so
it,
nice.
Yeah, just I'll take the job. I'll take the gig. But Lauren, thank you for coming here. Actually, right before you got here, we had like our first workplace accident on set. Like, I feel like we should have one of those like charts that say
days
this
without an accident.
This many days without an accident. Now we're back to zero. So what had happened? As you can see, okay, above
you both looked up, and I was like. Oh, also, when you were walking down the driveway, Mike, you had a bag that was definitely clanking with glass.
Yep.
And so I was like, something shattered.
Yes. So we have a ceiling light above us that has almost like this kind of, how would you say, like a glass shade
not anymore
over it.
Yeah.
And we know, and I had done it to my room because I felt like I wasn't getting enough light. There was this glass cover on top of it that was hardly letting any light in.
It's like pretty opaque. It was almost like a piece of glass that didn't have any visibility,
like frosty.
Yes. So I'd done it to my room. I'd stood on my bed, took it off. I got so much more light in my room. So now we're down in this room, and I thought, hey, I should do that. But obviously, the height from me standing on my bed when I took it off is not as tall as it is on our coffee table. So I had to like stand with one hand.
He was tiptoeing, and you have to unscrew something with one hand, and then the plate of glass looked like it would have stayed in. As you unscrewed it, and then you can put the screw down and then take the plate of glass out. But
and I thought I had it. It. Like, we saw that this could go badly, but I'm like, no, I'm going to handle it.
And the second the screw came off, so did the glass.
You like, did not handle
all
it.
Over the floor.
Oh, it was like a glass
still have a piece of it right here.
Pizza. Where was that?
It was just under the table.
Is that my souvenir? My thank you gift for coming on the pod today?
Yeah. But you can see. You can't even see through that.
That's really opaque. It's really so dark. Did this come down on your head? The logistics.
It could have, but I kind of ducked forward and it like went down my back.
It went this way into the couch and we vacuumed up. We cleaned it up so we're no longer in danger.
So there's no shards of glass. Incident. We made sure your whole area
that seat
is
was
clean.
Totally clean.
But if
but it, this is what it looked like and we're going to put it right back so we don't have any more workplace accidents. Yeah. As a reminder.
Oh my God.
But well, there's more light
but the
in here
light,
now.
Yeah. Worth it. Worth it. No blood, no stitches.
No, I just hope that lamp is going to be easy to find online.
A piece
of
it's just a piece of glass. I think it should be fine.
It's gonna be fine.
Yeah.
Right?
Have you ever cut glass?
No.
No. Hopefully I don't have to like buy like a whole sheet of glass and like
have you ever worked with like hot glass where it's like melted and you're doing the thing?
No.
Okay, Miss DIY.
I know. Stop exposing me. Damn, the material that I haven't worked with shit.
Speaking of crafts, I want to hop right into Craftopia.
Okay.
I had like my first watch of an episode today.
You did?
I did. I watched season one.
No.
Should I not watch season one?
Season two is so much better.
Well, I wanted to watch season one because I wanted to see if there was going to be like a spotlight on you at all, like explaining like your background. But it really kind of just hops right into it.
Oh, yeah. No, it's not a show about me.
No, yeah, it's about the contestants about and the competition.
Yes.
Explain what Craftopia is.
So it's a crafting competition. So like picture like any of those baking shows competitions where it's like three contestants, two challenges, one winner, prize money, etc. So it's that. And so season one was with kids, which was like really, really cute.
Yeah.
And like the casting process, especially like with children, is very cute and very funny. The amount of scandal that there was of adults trying to bamboozle the casting process to get their kid on TV.
Really?
Like submitting like fake portfolios.
Oh, like stuff that they didn't
that
even
the kid
make?
Didn't do?
They just wanted their kid to get on TV?
Yes.
Why would you do that though? Because eventually they're going to have to
be
tested.
Be on TV.
Yeah.
Yes.
So do you think any of the kids who got on were scammers, though?
No. So then at one point during casting, they had to do like a live crafting challenge on Zoom within like a certain time period to make sure that they weren't like parent submitted bamboozles.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Did you get to participate on any of these calls?
Like... I didn't. I wasn't on the calls. It wasn't on the calls, but I did get to go through the casting tapes, and some of the kids were just so cute.
Oh, my gosh.
Did your parents help you, though, when you were growing up with like your science fair project, or did you do them on your own?
I was kind of just, I was like solo dolo on it.
Oh, my dad did all my projects
really?
For me.
Really?
Yeah. Did he?
I totally understand exactly why. I mean, if you're going to go on a TV show.
I would be this parent.
If you're going to go on a TV show, that's different. But like when the science fair would come around and you're like 9 years old, my dad is a general contractor. He builds houses. So
this is forte.
Like a little, like where was one Jewish festival where he like built like people dancing in a horror with like an electric motor. And I just said that I did it because my parents... told me to say that, and everyone was like, "What? You did this on your own?" And there was an electric motor with like little people dancing, and they played music, and they were dancing the horror in a circle. My dad did. I literally didn't do anything.
You're
I looked
like,
at
"Yeah,
it.
I built this."
This was your science project?
It was just like whatever, a student project. Oh, maybe not
I was
a
like,
science
"What is
project.
The hypothesis?" Like, I think that this horror at this rotation will like I don't know what it equates to.
Maybe this was just like an arts fair or something, or like a project. But I definitely didn't do anything. So, and I thought that every parent's. Like, every kid had their parents helping them with projects. But then you realize now that there are actually people that have talent who are children that can actually put things together and not just run into a glass wall as their activity of the day.
I did Destination Imagination when I was a kid. Do you know
what
Destination
that?
Imagination is? I don't know if they have it in Canada where
Canadian,
you're from.
So maybe it is.
But basically, it's a creative thinking, problem-solving extracurricular you would do at school where you and a couple of friends, every year, the organization would announce a whole bunch of challenges. Like, you need to create a skit based on fairy tales and incorporate only newspaper. And we would do one that in only newspaper and tape, and it was like impromptu. So it would be like Goldilocks at a circus, and she needs to solve this problem. And we would like come up with this sketch, make costumes out of newspaper, and enter. But there were these other ones where that were more technical, and that kids' parents though would secretly help them. And they would get like disqualified from the challenges.
How did they know?
Because the judges would come up after and ask you all about the process of how you made.
So when you can explain how the motor is working in the bottom of the.
Yeah, this wasn't a full FBI investigation by any means. It was very.
Well, one kid from our school wasn't on my team. Another team, though, they asked him and he goes, "Well, my dad built this."
At least he's on points for honesty.
Yes, points
for
honesty.
Honesty.
But you know, kids, you know, they say the darnest things. Okay, so back. To Craftopia. So you had kids on the first season.
Kids on the first season, which was super cute. I think like the cute factor was there and people really liked it. It was like a feel good show, you know? But like it's hard to be like, oh, your craft sucks.
Right.
When they've just put like their 2 hours of blood, sweat, and tears and had like a mental breakdown and like they're crying. You know what I mean? Like it's hard because kids are so cute and like. Any kid who's obviously good enough to be on a reality crafting show is like obviously wildly talented. Uh-huh. So like the critique side of it was really tough. I was a host, thank God, did not have to participate in that. But then we transitioned to adults in season two, which was partially because I think like as HBO Max as a platform launched, they had such like an older audience.
Right.
Because HBO, like, traditionally has booby shows.
I know. That's the one where you're like, oh, wait. You're on HBO?
Yes.
It's like, I don't even know, like, where the kid parental lockdown is on HBO Max.
Well, I don't think they had. Now they definitely have it. Before, though.
When
like,
it was just
I feel like.
Scrolling through the channels, if you're on the wrong HBO. Oh. And your parents walk in.
Boobies.
Oh, yeah. I would just get out the TV guide. I'm like, when are they playing American Pie? And then we would plan out all of our sleepovers. Like, we're going to John's house because he has a game room.
HBO.
And his parents do not care. So we can see some boobs.
Is this what you call naughty movies? Is booby movies?
Booby movies?
Is that like a your thing?
No,
or?
I haven't. I've like said like it's a booby show. It's a booby movie. But like now it will be a thing. It sounds
but
good.
But is this something your friends and you, like, is this, I've never heard this term before.
It just came out now.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I wasn't sure if this is like how you say rated R growing up. Like, oh,
I like a booby movie's more fun.
Now, it's just some skin flicks though. Like now, like they're showing penises way more often than they ever have.
Yeah.
On the HBO shows.
Yes.
Yeah. Even Euphoria, Netflix shows.
Euphoria episode one. You see like 10 penises.
Oh my God. So many penises in like, literally episode one.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad the penis is getting some artistic representation.
The artsy ween.
Yeah, the artsy ween. But But, so wait, now with adults, are adults cursing on season two?
Yeah, so we can curse. We had a drag queen who was like, oh, I'm a messy bottom. You know what I mean? Like, they let us go.
Whoa, okay. Well, yeah. Well, now all these kids who are on Craftopia season one can't even watch season two.
I've had some angry parents coming at me because season one on like the platform is in the kids section, but season two obviously is not.
Okay.
But I think the algorithms, if you watch season one, like the plat, there's like some logistical things that we're working out currently from season one to season two. But season two is much more fun for me because like I'm not that I don't like kids. I don't really like kids. Like, I want a kid and I will love my own child, but like, I don't want to hold anyone else's baby.
Yeah.
There's like a certain age of kids where you can talk to them kind of like as a normal human. And I'm like, okay, you're cool. But like,
yeah, I love kids too, but I there's this weird part of me where I just feel like I'm lying to them. Cause like, adult, you know, like the truths of the world,
right.
But you, as a kid, you have to create this different image of life
like,
in front of
like
them.
There's like toddler age that I think is cute and you can be like, oh my God, like that is a dog.
Like yeah. When they can barely walk and they like fall yeah. And they're wearing a diaper and they yes. Can't speak. Yeah.
Yeah, like that's cute. But then there's like a weird era that I'm just like, I don't know.
When they like can be mean, but you can't be mean back.
Yes, it's unfair. It's yeah. An unfair dynamic.
Now, how was the hosting gig itself? I mean, you had already had so much experience being in front of a camera mm-hmm. on your own channel and everything like that. Was this like your first big time hosting a show that...
Oh, yeah.
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 Did that come easy to you? Was it easy speaking in front of a teleprompter, having to riff on the side and talk to the contestants?
It was... So again, I speak to adults, I think, much more freely and easier than children. So I think season two is a lot easier for me. And also, too, we had a season under our belt, too, of like how the flow of the show goes. But like the actual hosting part of it, I think, was really nice and like low pressure because I wasn't like in YouTube, you're kind of like the star of your content.
Yeah.
And so like a lot of weight is on your shoulders to like be entertaining and like be funny. But when you're the host, like you're kind of just like the complimentary thing that kind of is around all the stars.
Uh-huh.
So like you control the flow of the conversation, but you don't have to be the one cracking the jokes.
Okay.
So and you're not making a lot of decisions either.
You're also not. Yeah. So like you're not at fault for someone not winning or losing or whatever, which is nice.
Okay.
Because that's a stressful position to be in.
Yeah.
It's only stressful once the episodes air and people aren't happy with the outcome.
Okay. You didn't hurt anyone's feelings, though, ever, like, going up to them and, like, critiquing what they're working on. You're
no,
like,
oh, no.
Okay. Are you going to add more to this?
I know.
Just well, really like, some backhanded
they
compliments?
They, like, let us be sarcastic, but I think they, not that they cut a lot of it, because it only gets cut down to a 30-minute show, and you record for, like, 14 hours.
Right.
But... they let us be sassier. They let us be a little more sarcastic and like cursy, and it was just easier.
Because you're not like a Tim Gunn type who's like going
it's
in like
Ryan Seacrest instead of Simon Cowell. Ryan Seacrest gets to be friends with everybody. He just says,
yes.
"We'll be right back."
Right.
And then Simon Cowell, the judge, is the one who's saying,
yes.
"That was terrible. This was awful. You don't have
yes.
to do. You don't have to tell. You don't have to tell people that their dreams are failing.
Are crushed.
Yeah,
and okay. They're not taking home $10,000.
Right.
No one wants to be that guy.
Can you not look at them in the eye, like after they lose, or whenever they're like, you know, they're on the chopping block? Like
I mean,
that's my type of anxiety where I can't look. Like if someone, if I'm at like a dinner and mm-hmm. someone's like complaining to a waiter, I'm like, I'm going to the
bathroom.
Well,
that's
I
my worst nightmare right
this.
There. Yeah.
I can't.
Yeah. There's no world.
No.
I hand the trophy off at the very end.
Okay.
And so when you're delivering the last line and like the winner of Craftopia is, and like, I've tried a whole bunch of different things. I don't know where you're, I'm sure there's a science to what you're supposed to do with your face, but like, who you're supposed to look at or not look at when you're giving the... Because I don't want to give it away who I'm... You know
oh,
what I mean? Like,
yeah,
if
you gotta
you're
have
winning,
a poker face,
if
kinda.
You're winning, I can't be like, and the winner is, and mm-hmm. just stare right at you. So it's, but I don't want to make Mike think he's winning if I'm staring at... So it's like, it's very stressful in my brain during that moment.
Okay. Are you opening up like an envelope or is it just already on the
it's,
screen?
No,
you
have like a little ear thing and they tell you in your ear.
Wow.
And so it's high stress.
And the episodes are coming out weekly.
No,
right?
They did 4 and 4. So they did 4 Halloween and then 4 Christmas.
Is there a village making a Christmas village craft at all?
Oh, fuck. Maybe...
Can you remember?
We did have a really fun like model. Wait, there. Yes.
There is a village one?
Yes, but Yes.
Okay. Well, yes. I'm excited to see it.
Yes.
You know,
you're already caught up on season one, so this will be easy to catch up on season two.
Yeah,
now.
Maybe I'll be in the consideration for season three. For season three. If you guys do a villaging episode.
What, a whole episode.
If you were to judge Matt's Halloween Village, which you just saw before, what would your... Now I'm going to put you in the hot seat that you don't want to be in. You're the judge.
Yeah.
Let's hear the critique of Matt's Christmas Village. Maybe it's good. Maybe it's not.
I mean... Here's the thing is that I feel like I would need to separate the purchase projects from the actual art.
Oh,
of
okay.
It.
Yes, yes.
Because it's hard to tell. And also, too, like in your defense, the art portion of it looks so good that I didn't even realize that it was an art portion.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I know everything that takes everything from like the floorboards and doing the cliffs and adding the grass. That's where the real craftiness comes.
It looks so good. Yeah.
Anyone can just buy Leemax boxes and put them on a shelf.
Totally.
But to make it a village, that's where the art comes in.
You have to be an artiste. I'd give you the craft trophia.
Right.
Well, maybe we'll audition you for season three.
Maybe, but now I'm like nervous. I don't if they're scouting out the best of the best, I don't know.
You know
what?
You should recruit Mike's dad to come build something
yes.
for you to submit your tape.
I just and they're like, okay, can you adjust your camera? Show us what you have. You just see like Mike's dad's just
with a
like,
bunch of tools and a garage
arms come in. They're like, are those his hands?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Okay, cool. And obviously they picked you as the host because you have a huge reputation with your YouTube channel, Lauren DIY, which you've done so many crafts on. Mm-hmm. So tell us like about that, how you got into crafting. I know that you got into it kind of in college when you started your blog.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Did your research.
I did. It was called what? Inspires and Desires?
Super close. Desire and Inspire.
Desire and Inspire.
I hate that you know that. Like when I look back to that, I'm like, bitch, where did you pull that name out of?
I think it's good. That sounds like a magazine you could find at the checkout aisle of a Whole Foods.
I mean, I think that's what like 19-year-old me was going for. So thank you so much on behalf of 9 years ago me.
Yeah.
Thank you
definitely.
So much.
I mean, it was at the beginning of the blogosphere when everyone was not having a vlog, they were making a blog. And I was just talking about that the other day. I'm like, are blogs still popping off?
No.
Like, is there one that's just like the latest blog I'm not seeing, but no.
All the bloggers are on Instagram now.
Okay.
Yeah, all the bloggers kind of, I think, moved to Instagram, and then some of them have, like, gone, trickled over to, like, YouTube and TikTok, but for the most part, I think they became Instagram creators.
So how did you get traffic on your blog back then? Were you like...
Oh, I didn't. That's why there's no more blog.
Oh.
Yeah. That's why the blog died. May she rest in peace.
Okay, but that's where you kind of, like, got
videos to embed onto the blog.
Oh.
And then the video started picking up traction. And I was like, what do you mean YouTube? Like, you have new subscribers. And like, I don't know if you ever had this, but like when you first start, if you don't turn your notifications off, every time you get a new subscriber, you get a new email.
Oh, right.
And so at the very beginning, I got a shit ton of emails all at once. And I was like, oh my God, what is happening? And this is like the era of, how long have you been on YouTube for now?
Ooh, I mean, like I've been around the internet sphere.
First.
I was a Viner, but like, I don't know, doing YouTube, it's just our podcast. I don't really like do YouTube videos myself, but like I was familiar with it like in
2017, 2016.
Definitely.
Okay. So this is like the era of like Bethany Moda. I don't know if you know how that is.
So is this like 2014 we're talking?
It's been 2012.
Okay. Yeah. So I was like in college during that time. I even had a blog in college, but it was just like my school notes that I would turn into a blog.
Onto a blog.
I'd be like,
what
oh, I learned this today. Oh gosh. I've deleted it because I didn't want anybody to find it. I think it was probably just like M92 King. It was just like my own little blog because I was a journalism student.
And you were
student.
Blogging what you learned in class? Like your notes?
Yeah, because it would help me kind of study. Like I would turn my notes into like me talking, like into like a mini essay about what I learned.
Was there an audience intended for this?
No. I think it was just to show off I was like a journalism student actively making a blog to help on your resume.
Right.
I guess.
Do you have a LinkedIn?
I do have a LinkedIn.
Why?
Is it up to date?
I actually updated. The only, like, the sole reason that I have a LinkedIn is because I've invested in a few companies. And so, like, with investing, the opportunities that you get are usually word of mouth. And so, if someone is, like, looking at me as someone as a potential to maybe invest in their company, I want to have a presence on a business website that is not, like, my Instagram or my YouTube channel. You know what I mean? Where I'm, like, getting lip injections or like right. here's yeah, yeah, like yeah. you know what I mean, like there's just other things that I want to go forward if someone's looking at me from like a business perspective.
Yeah, the formal rap sheet of just yeah. like what you've done.
And like realistically, like they probably know like generally what you're about if they want to bring you on board as like a strategic investor, but like it's sometimes just good to like show that you've made a little effort to like clean yourself up a bit online.
We'll be right back after a quick word from today's sponsor.
Mike, we've been friends now for about what, 6-7 years?
Yeah, it's been a while.
You know, I think we need to get ourselves a little token of our friendship.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Do you know where I'm going with this?
I do.
I think it's time we get friendship bracelets.
Okay.
or even better, friendship rings. How about that?
Let's stick with bracelets first, and then we can start closer and then get to the top of the hand.
And you know what, and you know where I'm gonna go?
Ana Luisa.
That's for sure, Mike, because we've already have treated our girls to the best jewelry that Ana Luisa has to offer, but I'm still open to getting some jewelry for ourselves. You know what I mean?
It's time we treat ourselves for some Ana Luisa. I agree. Totally agree. Little end of the year bonus for ourselves.
Exactly. And if you guys don't know what Ana Luisa is, they are a company that was founded to bring clarity to the jewelry industry. They design pieces with a beautiful story from beginning to end.
Beginning with recycled materials whenever possible, transparent business practices, and always in small batches that are kind to the earth.
They are also carbon neutral, folks.
Which means that they offset 100% of the carbon emissions that they generate.
And not only that, they are exceptional quality.
Ana Luisa is the real deal. As we've said, our girlfriends have it, and I think Whitney and Patricia wear their Ana Luisas every day now. It's a staple for their wardrobe.
Oh, yeah. They were even rocking them at Aaron's wedding
this
past weekend.
That is correct. Yeah.
They are timeless, affordable, and the quality lasts for a very, very long time.
When you get your Ana Luisa package, you notice the craftsmanship immediately. They look beautiful. They feel beautiful because they are beautiful. Ana Luisa makes beautiful jewelry that's affordable and high quality.
So we absolutely recommend you check out Ana Luisa.
So go to shop.analuisa.com/hoot. That's shop, S-H-O-P, dot A-N-A-L-U-I-S-A dot com slash hoot. H-O-O-T.
I love them. Their pieces start at just $39, and right now they are running their biggest sale of the year. You can get 60% off your second item if you go to shop.analuisa.com/hoot.
And new jewelry collections are released every Friday, so it's always a great day. Check out New Music Friday. Shop for new Ana Luisa. It's Fridays are the best days because of Ana Luisa. That's shop.analuisa, analuisa.com/hoot, and get yourself something nice.
I'm really excited for our friendship bracelets.
All right, back to the episode.
How far does yours go back? Like
my internet career?
No, your LinkedIn page. Mine probably
sells like Uncle Julio's server and like Spirit Halloween on there.
Did you work at Spirit Halloween?
Yeah, but like only for like setting it up, and then they never asked me to work on the floor.
Oh.
Yeah. Matt has had bad experience as a like employee that has to interface with customers. He's been fired from a restaurant job.
Oh, yeah.
You're so personable, though.
Oh, I got fired because I was working another job, and that job called me and asking where I was. And it was before the restaurant even opened, and I had my phone out. And we were rolling up silverware.
Oh, and you got fired for that?
Yeah, I did.
It's just too much pressure. Those jobs are so stressful. Like retail and like restaurant jobs.
Oh, yeah. I did serving for years.
I mean, it's definitely good to
do. I still have nightmares.
Are you serious? Same.
What's your nightmare?
Well, I have this one that's always on loop. And it was this guy who asked for the jumbo shrimp. And I didn't bring him the jumbo shrimp. He never pointed it out that he didn't get the jumbo shrimp. But he had an attitude the rest of the dinner. And I remember 2 days later, I was like, I didn't give him the jumbo shrimp, and I still think about that man at least once a week. At least. I do.
Wait, so but that happened in real life, or that's the reoccurring dream that you have?
That happened in real life, but like it's that guy getting mad at like it's not him telling me, but me knowing I'm doing a mistake, right. And this look he's giving me.
What is yours?
Mine's just like me in one of like the bar pub things I used to work at, and I'm the only server with so many tables, and I can't keep up, and people are angry, and like everything is just going wrong. And so it's more just like a loop of overwhelming stress.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this is a recurring dream that you still have years later.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah,
you wake up like in a cold sweat, like, oh my God.
And like, I wonder why I've got like clenching jaw problems, you know? And you wake up and you're like, oh, it's because I had 45 tables and I couldn't serve all of them.
I have that kind of nightmare too about like taking care of animals. Even though I haven't taken care of an animal in forever, I have this like fear that there's this like animal somewhere like that I haven't like fed. or that's sitting in a cage.
We should Google what that means.
I know.
That's gotta be something.
It's probably similar to like tending the tables.
Is the restaurant job on your LinkedIn?
No. Okay. So I took those off. I just have like my university degree, and I'm trying to think. There was one internship at a media company that I might have kept on because it's like somewhat related to like the digital industry. And then I have some of like my own like Lore DIY related stuff because there's been some like good Forbes articles and stuff that you can link on your profile, which are good.
I should endorse you on LinkedIn.
Love an endorsement.
Just like doing skills, charming, cheerful.
Yeah, yeah.
Great podcast. Had
a good dog.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So it's, yeah, I made an effort, but I did it with the intention of like just leaving it, like redoing it,
right,
and then just like setting it aside and being like, okay.
You're not actively making posts, no, adding connections, no, updating your resume.
But no, that's smart from like an investor side, thinking about these other people that are considering you to invest in their company, mm-hmm, that you want to clean it up. I haven't thought about that because it's usually the people who are asking, you know, like me to invest in stuff. I'm the one who's snooping them
right
down. And I'm like, are they legit?
Yeah.
Is this really going to grow
my
money?
But maybe they're doing pre-snooping.
Yeah, but maybe I need to clean it up on my end.
On LinkedIn,
yeah, definitely.
I mean, like, here's the thing is that I'm sure maybe like one person out of however many people have looked up my shit have been like, okay, like good LinkedIn. So yeah, like I wouldn't spend more than 5 minutes on
but
it.
There's like a whole cult, like I don't know if you've seen LinkedIn TikTok, but there's like a whole culture of like recruiters and job searching and like people connecting with each other at companies. Like it's a whole social
and there's
media
hacks.
Network.
Wait, like people are like hiding in white text like buzzwords on their resume.
Yeah.
So when they upload it, like it auto scans all of those. And so if it sees like, oh, you're proficient in like all of this stuff, but the resume doesn't say it.
Yeah.
It's because it's hidden in the text.
The LinkedIn world is like, so I'm very fascinating to me, especially not having to, like, we don't need to use LinkedIn on a day to day basis. So it's like, what's going on over there?
Yeah.
Oh my God. It's so funny when people say like, oh, there's a whole world on TikTok. And it's like, it's so funny. I'm like, oh, I've never been on LinkedIn TikTok before.
I know. I'm still on like study hack TikTok. And
TikTok.
But I'm like, I'm not going to use this like for anything.
But have you shit? Maybe you just keep watching them though.
I do.
The TikTok algorithm is so smart that it obviously thinks that you want to see that.
What does TikTok think you like that you really don't like, but you keep watching?
I mean, my entire For You page. I would say like the animal stuff is always like, I'll always take a good animal. Oh, fuck. You know what it is? Is I hate monkeys. I hate monkeys like with a deep burning passion. And like, I think because they're like, oh, this girl likes animals. So like, she'd also like a baby monkey. And I'm like, how do I specify to you that I don't, I want to see every animal except a monkey.
Yes.
That's pretty specific for the algorithm to figure out.
But it's so smart. I'm like, you being TikTok, you have the most powerful algorithm that I've ever seen on a social media platform. Figure it out. I don't want monkeys.
Like, yeah. Why don't you like monkeys?
I think they're like oddly, weirdly close to humans. Like, obviously they like, down to the genetics, they are
right
oddly close, and it freaks me. I don't know. It just like gives me like the ick. But walking around at the zoo, and they're like walking the same way humans do and stuff like that, and they're like scratching their shoulder like humans do. It like makes me fucking feel
weird.
Have
you seen a monkey in real life before with your own eyes or only on screens?
Like, have I been to a zoo?
Yeah. I've never been to a zoo.
Really?
Yeah. I've never been to a zoo.
What? You're lying.
Who go? What? That's like a whole day. Who's plans to go to a zoo?
Sounds like you didn't have much of a childhood. First off, not even your school not taking you to a zoo. Your parents didn't take you to
a
zoo.
You never went to a zoo?
I don't think so.
So have you ever
seen
like
I've been to like a petting zoo. They have like bring like a goat to someone's house and you can like pet the goat.
So you've never seen an elephant?
No, I don't think so. No.
What?
Mike,
I don't.
So
think
your
most
dad would built your projects, who sounds like an incredible, like next level parent, but didn't take you to a zoo.
That's not. I think more people have not been to zoos than have been to zoos.
I disagree.
False. I don't know where this
we'll
survey.
We'll post a poll check it after on Instagram.
You
afterwards.
Think more people in America have been to zoos than not been to zoos?
Yes.
I don't think so.
It's a staple of like just a childhood.
You're making me feel like I've never been to like a library.
It sounds like you've like never been on a plane kind of a thing.
Yeah. You're like, no one goes on planes. What do you mean?
Yeah. Wait,
So you've never seen like
a gorilla, a tiger.
I went to like an animal sanctuary one time in like Costa Rica, but I don't think it was like a zoo. A zoo is like in like where they have. Yeah.
Like animals. Giraffe. No giraffe.
Yeah. Not like in an enclosure where it's like you walk through like the Bronx. I know that there's like the Bronx Zoo or something. I've never been to like a zoo. Like I've been to like animal sanctuaries in the place. where the animals are native to, but I've never seen like a giraffe in New York City.
You know, you could even just go to like Malibu Wine Safari to go see Stanley the giraffe.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so you've seen monkeys in person, and I guess it was a crazy question to ask, but you've seen them face to face, and they didn't win you over in person.
Oh, no, it freaked me out even more.
Oh.
So the bonobo monkey, for whatever, I don't know why I know this, but the bonobo monkey is, I guess, like the most genetically identical or closest to a human, and it's terrifying.
It's there's a phenomenon called the uncanny valley, which I think might be what is triggering this for you. Are you familiar with what this is?
No, oh, what is this?
This is really interesting.
So this is like the theory where you ever watch like a 2000s animated, like digital animation where like the people don't look like real, but they try to make it look real, but it's almost lifelike, but it's not lifelike, and it makes it super creepy, like an animatronic robot.
Like the movie Polar Express, people always hate it because the faces
there's
of
something
them.
Weird.
Yeah. So there's like this idea where like if you're looking at a cartoon, like Hey Arnold, it's like so clearly not a human that we're comfortable with it. But the closer you get to human, because it's not an exact human, that like difference where it's like not actually a human because it's so close, people just have an aversion to that, and they're like, this is... It looks, I know it's not the thing, but it looks so much like the thing that it makes me uncomfortable.
Oh my
and
God.
I think it's called the uncanny valley phenomenon.
The uncanny valley?
Yes. Mm-hmm. We're like robots with like human faces are like really weird. Or like when you listen to Siri, it's like, it's not like talking to a human because it's a robot voice.
Right.
Or when Mike says he's never been to a zoo.
Right. We had that reaction.
We think he's just...
The aversion.
Yeah.
I am a human, guys. I am not a robot.
You guys should do a remote podcast from the zoo.
I think so. We can interview some animals.
Aren't zoos also like unethical a lot of the time?
Yeah,
like,
it's not good.
Okay.
Though, I will say that there are a lot of the marine center, like aquatic places
aquariums.
Are really fucked up.
Oh, I thought they would be
like SeaWorld.
Like SeaWorld.
Oh,
like,
those are bad.
Those are super fucked up.
But I feel like the fish, and this is probably wrong, but like fish living in an aquarium, like they're still living in water. But like if you bring a polar bear to, you know, Southern California, that's probably a little bit more of a...
My concern is when their life expectancy is shortened by being held in captivity than if it would be longer being out in the wild.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So there's like... places you can go where there's like an island and it's just filled with wild monkeys that you can like interact with. You would not want to do that.
I would literally rather die. I would genuinely choose death over that.
Would you bet that's your biggest fear is monkeys?
I don't think it's my biggest fear. It's like my biggest like discomfort, I guess. Because it's not like I'm scared of them. I'm just like, you could like... I don't know. It's the aversion, the uncanny valley aversion.
I would like to see like a monkey craft show where like monkeys do crafts see what they would make.
But see, that's what's scary too, is that they would make something kind of normal.
Yeah.
And they would be wearing like kind of normal clothes. So TikTok has been showing me monkeys that are like wearing clothing and like walking and holding hands with like humans and stuff. And like
getting pizza from a delivery man.
Yes. And I think that's what's happening. Phenomenon. Okay. Uncanny Valley.
Interesting.
I wonder if your TikTok is listening to you say
that's
the word
monkey.
That's
what I was just saying. I was like,
over.
I am so mad that I'm saying the word monkey so close to my phone so many times over and over again.
So you are an investor, which is super cool. And I did want to ask, is there any invention or business that you want to start that you haven't? And if so, I would like to hear your Shark Tank pitch.
Okay, so I think the easy answer is that if there was something that I wanted to invent... I would have, and I wouldn't be giving all my money to other people who are doing cool things.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, and that's why like investing is fun. Cause you're like, oh, these people are geniuses and doing really cool things that I've never thought of and like could never think of. So like, I want to put my money behind these smart people that are doing cool things, because I think it's, when you think of so many industries that are just so wildly oversaturated, like to think of a product or a service that like hasn't been created yet is so hard.
Yeah. And something that would be like competition free, but also couldn't be just an add on to something else that already exists.
Like, there's just, it's so hard. Like any industry you think of, it's impossible. And unless you, I guess, like run into something, you're like, oh, there's like a needs gap here that I could potentially fill. But then even then, I'm sure if you did a quick Google, 10 options, 100 options would come up to fill your needs gap.
Yeah.
So
do you find it tough to invest then because of how many options there are? Like, is that something you spend a lot of time on, or is this sort of like a, are you trying to sit on the Shark Tank investor side?
I'm trying to be as rich as like the Shark Tank people.
Okay.
Right. I don't know if I'm trying to sit on the Shark Tank side of the like chairs for the pitches. I mean, it's hard because like with angel investing or strategic investing, like you have to be ready to lose every single dollar that you put in. Because
mm-hmm.
I forget what the percentage is, but it's really high of like how many startups flop.
Right.
It's like 99%.
And something like 99%, like it's like wildly high. So it's like you are going to lose most of your money, if not all of your money, but hopefully you have one that pops off.
But you haven't like come up with some new like, you know, way to flush a toilet or something where you're just like, this has got to be in every house.
Like if I had invented the squatty potty.
Oh,
bitch.
Set
for life.
I know. That's what made you think of the flushing the toilet thing?
I don't know. That's just like, I feel like those are like inventors. Well, like you hear about like inventors, like, oh, I figured out a new way to like.
Well, my girlfriend, she had this roommate though, who was thoroughly convinced she had like the ultimate invention for flushing a toilet.
Oh,
I was
God.
Like, really?
What I can't is believe you have a story to build off of this.
She wouldn't say what it was. That's how much she believed in it. But I'm like, then why don't you make it? Like, I was so like, what is it? And it was just basically like a pedal to flush the toilet instead of touching
they
it.
Do I'm
like,
they already.
I know. Yeah. And I pulled it up and I'm like, it's been made, but she still thought she had like this big secret. She's like, well, it's different than that. I'm like, no, this is exactly what you explained and it exists. Sorry to crush your dreams, but she just.
Well, that's a great invention. I love you go to a public restroom and they have the little foot stand thing. Oh, yeah. Great.
Or like, honestly, any of the toilet inventions in Japan, like geniuses, all of them.
Have you been to Japan?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had another trip booked right before the Pandy Wandy started.
Oh, damn.
To go see the cherry blossoms.
That's
in
a great
spring.
Euphemism for it.
Pandy Wandy?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Pandy Wandy. The Pandy Wandy? Yeah.
The Panini.
Yeah, the Panini.
So you've been to Japan. What did you like about it? I've been dying to go.
Wait, did you not go? I thought you did go.
No, Matt's never been. It's his dream bucket list place to go. And
Zane surprised me with a trip, but then we just never went. And then everything that happened, we haven't been. But it's. It's on the horizon.
Can you give Matt some hope, some inspiration?
Oh my God, yeah. Fuck. Well, so I wanted to go back because when I was there, I was working. And so we got to do a lot of things still like kind of in between. But we were just so dead tired from like time change and also like doing like actual work for the reason that we were there. But oh God, it's so fun. You would be a literal giant. And like,
I heard. Yeah, my friend who's like as tall as me or even taller.
Yeah.
He went there and people were just taking pictures with him all the time.
Because
they were
like, this is
crazy.
You're like a tourist attraction.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Tall white people. Uh-huh. It's like crazy. Like even my family, even though we're like very.
Americanized?
Or they're Canadianized.
Canadianized.
Yes.
How long have you been to the U.S.?
5 years.
Oh. Do you speak French?
A little bit.
Didn't you win a French award at some point?
Yeah, weren't you in the French immersion program?
I was in the French immersion. Where is this on the internet?
On your Draw My Life.
Oh, what? Did you watch my Draw My Life?
Yes.
Is that
so? So did you lie in your Draw My Life?
No, I wasn't French immersion.
I thought you did some French immersion thing.
Yeah, I did.
Or what, you did something where all of your classes were in French in middle school.
And you won an award, a French award. According to you.
That was in grade 6. Oh. So, I mean, I'll still take it. Like, put it on the LinkedIn. But, like, it was a long time ago. Yeah, but, like, it was, you do everything in French up until grade 11.
Okay.
And then, because, like, you're going to go off to college and, like, they don't want you to, like, only know the periodic table in French, they let you, like, flip back to English for, like, chemistry and everything.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
And have you been to France?
Yes.
Yes.
Paris, yeah. Wait, how was your trip?
Oh, Italy? We loved it. Oh, yeah, because we did your podcast. I did
right,
your
about
podcast
to go. Yes.
Right before. Oh, it was a blast. We did Rome, Florence, Tuscany. We had such a good time where it feels bad like talking about how good of a time it was because
oh,
I just feel like
God.
I'm bragging constantly.
It looked beautiful.
If you get invited to a wedding in Italy, go.
Yeah.
Go.
It's worth the schlep.
Worth the slap.
Yeah. There's a lot of walking. I wish I stretched. I wish I like practiced walking more.
Because like the third day, we were like, we couldn't, our
sore?
Legs were just so sore because we're going from sitting on the couch, you know, most of the day. And then you're walking. I think we did like 13,000, 20,000 steps every day.
Every day?
Yeah. And you just go right into it. There's no like grace period. So
I've always heard that's why you can like drink so much and eat so much like bread when you do this because you walk so
they
much.
They are all walking around all the time.
Yeah.
And mostly in Europe because all those cities, like, they're not really built for cars because they're so old. So
you drove. How was it? You were nervous.
I was nervous, but they drive on the same side as here in the United States.
Oh,
so it wasn't too bad, but just seeing different types of like European road signs, that was pretty like scary.
And, like,
and the
roundabouts,
which I love a good roundabout.
It
makes the flow of traffic go by faster, but just like talking to Patricia, and she has the navigation out, just being like, are we turning on Maria Bonita Street? Like, I don't know. Mike, as you know, the holiday season is finally here. I celebrate Christmas, you celebrate Hanukkah, but the most important thing behind all of that is we got to give some gifts to the loved ones in our life. But this year, I want to give a good gift. I want to give a gift that is special and unique, just like the relationships that we share with those loved ones.
I think we have the perfect gift with today's sponsor, StoryWorth.
Preserve precious memories and stories for years to come.
It is a thoughtful and meaningful gift that connects you to the ones you love the most. Every week, StoryWorth emails a loved one or friend a question of your choice from their vast pool of possibilities.
And they're very thought-provoking questions, too.
Things you wouldn't actually maybe want to ask at the dinner table or not would come up in conversation, but things that are really important that you'd want to know and something that would matter years down the road.
Like, what's the bravest thing you've ever done?
Or if you could see into the future, what would you want to find out? For example, I got my mom's StoryWorth recently, and the questions are things like, what were your grandparents like? Or what was your high school like? And those experiences and questions are things that maybe I wouldn't think to ask, but StoryWorth makes it easy, and I get to see the answers, and it's an incredible way for me to connect with my parents in a way that I couldn't before.
Yeah, in our family, we really love our genealogy and tracing down our whole family history, but sometimes it's so sad that we never know the stories behind those distant relatives and their past. StoryWorth is the one time in the now to capture all those memories that otherwise would be forgotten.
After 1 year, StoryWorth compiles all of your loved ones' stories into a beautiful keepsake book that you'd be able to share and revisit for generations to come. So if you include your parents on it, it's something you can show your grandkids, like, hey, this is what great grandma and great grandpa thought about X, Y, and Z. It's really, really cool.
And reading the weekly stories really helps you connect with your loved one.
Whether they're right next to you and living in the same house or a distant relative, it's such an interesting and unique way to create conversations and learn more about the people that you love.
So with StoryWorth, I'm giving those that I love the most a thoughtful and personal gift from the heart and preserving their memories and stories for years to come.
So go to StoryWorth.com/hoot and save $10 off your first order.
That's StoryWorth.com/hoot for $10 off your first purchase.
StoryWorth, StoryWorth.com/hoot. And now back to the episode.
So Lauren, one thing that I love about you as an internet personality is how honest you have been with like your mental health and dealing with anxiety and that you have been doing this YouTube game for now almost 10 years. It's been like 9 years and you've been consistent like since the very beginning. And, you know, as a fellow internet creator, I struggle with anxiety so much, but to the point where it makes me not want to post anything. Mm-hmm. And knowing that you deal with it, I'm interested, like, how do you operate upstairs in your brain?
Not well. Functioning at low capacity.
But you still get to the point where you're like, I'm clicking record. Yeah. I am clicking upload and I'm putting it out there.
Uh-huh.
Because I struggle with like a lot of like, I guess self-doubt or worrying what other people will think of me. And sometimes it's not even fans. It's just like people like it close in my life and their scrutiny. Like, how do you get yourself into that zone where you're like, I'm still going to make it happen?
I thrive on a schedule and I thrive with like structure.
Okay.
So if I'm like, oh, I'm going to upload once a week on Sundays, when I give myself that kind of like internal deadline, I function much better in like all capacities. When I have like a few like pillars to my week, because then like within that, I'm like, okay, what day does my editor need footage by? Okay. So what day do I need to have supplies by to shoot that video? So like when I can break down my week like that, I think it takes, in a weird way, less pressure off of me, like when I'm more planned.
Because you know it's going to happen and I will do it then, and that's when the moment's set.
Yes.
I guess I would struggle with or thinking, hopefully at 3 p.m. I'm going to be in a good mood to do that thing.
Like, oh, I'm really good at putting on a camera face.
Yeah, because I'm like, are you still like going to be in a good mood when you're doing those things? Or are you still like struggling internally having to do it when you're not like feeling it?
I mean, not every day is as easy as like your main like top peak days, but I'm pretty good at, unless like something actively is like very going wrong or like you just had a fight with like your boyfriend or whatever.
Yeah.
Like obviously that's like different, but I'm pretty good at being like, okay, now I'm in like creator mode.
Gotcha.
But I've been doing this for almost 10 years now. And so it's like a little, I think almost like a little like psychopathic.
It sounds like kind of like working out for some people. Like it's not everyone wants to go to the gym every day. I'm sure you don't want to work out
yes.
every single day, but you get there and you say, I'm putting on the clothes
yes.
and I'm taking the
yes.
pre-workout.
Yes.
I'm going to go work out.
And if I'm not doing it, my body's like fluttering going, you got to go do this. Like
right.
my body wants to do it more than like my mind wants to, because it's craving it. So like that routine and that habit you've built up it's hard to just even end it because you're so used to it.
Right. And so like something about structure, I think for people who have like high functioning anxious people are like structure gives you control and control gives you comfort and like lessens your anxiety. And so I think that's a lot of like how my mind works around the whole thing.
Gotcha. You see a therapist?
Oh, every Wednesday.
How long have you been seeing this therapist?
This one in particular, probably 9 months now.
Oh, you switched it up.
Yeah, I've like gone on and off of different therapists. You know, it's like dating. Like sometimes you have good ones, sometimes you have bad ones. I've tried like also like CBT. I've tried EMDR. I've tried hypnotherapy.
You've done it all.
I've done it all.
Which one? Any of those that have stood out that really kind of like rejolted you into a better mindset?
I think cognitive behavioral therapy is my favorite. CBT.
Okay. So how does that
it,
go?
Like, it's based on the idea that like your brain, it's called neuroplasticity, where like you can rewire your brain. And so if something traumatic has happened to you, or even if just like your brain has crossed wires in some way and you've like have a pattern of doing something or a way of thinking about things, it's like the idea that with CBT, you can rewire and reprogram yourself to, you know, handle things differently or look at things in a different perspective.
And are they like just talking this out with you during these sessions, or is it
wires in your brain to do this?
Yeah, if I could just actually stick some like jumper cables in my brain and just restart, that would save me so much money on a weekly basis. But yeah, it's just like you just talk about things and.
Interesting. Yeah. Do you have a guy or a girl?
It's a guy.
Guy? Do you like having a guy as your therapist? I'm not saying there's there are no, like but gender some biases. People,
yeah, my friend literally the other day was just like, oh, I want a girl. I don't really care.
I had a girl and I stopped seeing her, but looking back on it, I thought she did put me in a really great mindset, but like it was a little too, I don't know. I was looking for just like this maternal validation from her when I kind of needed, like I felt like I should have had like another guy to be like, buddy, fuck up.
Yeah.
Just face the damn music. Rather, she would just be like, oh, I'm so sorry. And just,
no, but sometimes you need that.
Yeah, I guess. But I think if I were to get back into therapy, and I have been considering it, I need like...
I've been to so many different therapists, and I think they've all, you know, brought value at their time. But now, like looking back, like the one I'm with now has made the most like... most massive pivot in my life versus the other people.
Is there something that sticks out in your brain that you still are like, that you actually learned from therapy that you still apply, that like is something that you didn't know before and that you like comes up in your brain?
Like a shift.
Yeah.
I mean, I think for me is like using the strength of logic, which is sounds so simple, but like when my body goes into like fight or flight and I start feeling like I'm going to pass out or that I'm really dizzy and stuff like that, like I start spiraling. And I think just like the power of logic to be like, okay, what's the worst thing that could happen? Okay, you do pass out. Okay, you're not going to die. Like, okay, there's no reason that if your body is in like completely fine, normal health, like worst case scenario, the very worst case scenario, you pass out, you get up, you go drink some juice. Like,
yeah.
So it's like, if that happens, then what? Okay. And like, if that happens, then what? You know what I mean? Like, if you just go down that kind of like line of all the scenarios, when you end up at the end, it's actually usually not that bad.
Yes. We suffer more in imagination than we do in reality.
Yes, 100%. And so being able to like take yourself down that path of like the what ifs, I think can be really helpful. And then also too, I think one of the other ones is that like my therapist is always like, your body is built to endure a lot. So like when I'm always like, oh, I feel like woozy, I feel weak, or I feel dizzy when I'm feeling really anxious, he's like, your body is built. He's like, so I have this thing where I have to eat really frequently. I have like a really high metabolism.
Mm-hmm.
And so I get dizzy if it's been like 4 hours since my last like meal or snack. And so when I get dizzy from that, I start like spiraling, being like, oh my God, like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, I start spiraling. And my therapist is like, so based on the knowledge that you've probably eaten meals for your entire life, for the most part, three meals a day for your entire life, being an hour late to lunch, you're probably gonna be fine.
Yeah.
It's like your body is meant to endure life. Like you're much stronger than your brain gives you credit for a lot of the times.
Yeah.
And that's something that you think about logically when you're having something that you're just like, okay, this is a problem, but you realize I'm going to implement this tool that I learned, and then you can actively implement something that you learned.
Yes. Oh, all the time, every single day, multiple times. Or like if I work out too hard and I'm feeling really dizzy, like same thing. I'm like, my body was built to be able to skip for 10 minutes. Like you're going to be fine.
Right. Yeah. You're capable of a lot more than you think.
Yes. Is Jeremy really good at understanding, like, whenever, like, you're going through something, like, he kind of knows how your brain operates and doesn't, like, I don't know, disrupt it in a way, but like,
yeah,
knows your kind of mental language when you're going through something.
He's gotten really, really good. I think, I mean, it sucks on like behalf of the person who has to support the anxious person, because a lot of the times someone who's having an anxiety attack doesn't need the same thing every time. So there's not like a step 1, 2, 3 to like help aid in the situation.
It's not a fire hose to just get rid of a fire. Right. It's not the same thing every time.
It's not the same thing every time. And like being on the other side of that, like, goddamn, that must be fucking annoying. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like to try different things and then get like potentially a bad reaction from the person who needs help, but like you don't know how to help them.
Do you think you will always be in therapy?
I mean, like, time permitted, I would love to always be in therapy.
You don't see it as like a means to an end. You see it as like working out. Like you're always going to exercise. You're always going to do. It's not like a let's fix. Oh, it's maintenance. Okay.
Maintenance. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. Because like everyone thinks like, oh, you go to trauma. You go to therapy because like something bad happened or something like bad happened to you and you need to like work through that. But it's just so much more than that.
Yeah. No, I agree. And I wish I still continued with my therapy because I really do see the benefits of viewing it as maintenance when I really felt like mentally I got over whatever I was dealing with.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, I don't want to go back because then I'm scared I'm going to be like reapproaching it and then I'm going to be thinking about it more.
Right.
But then really, I think there's still so much more to fix that isn't based on like what had happened in my past.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah.
How old were you when you first went to a therapist?
What would be my first year of university? So 19, 18, 19.
And that was in Canada.
Yeah, it was in Canada.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I had my first panic attack in a massive... So, like, in Toronto, I went to school in, like, downtown Toronto. And so they've got these massive convention centers, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And any classes kind of, like, in the business side of school, they would do in these convention centers because the programs were so big. So it would be, like, you in a sea of, like, 4,000 people writing your exam.
Ooh.
And so same thing, I just started going tunnel vision. I was sweating, my heart was racing. It was like fight or flight.
You don't know what's happening the first time it's happening.
You think you're fucking dying. Like, you have no idea what's happening. Like your body is betraying you on like the deepest level.
When you need it to perform the most.
I studied so hard for this stupid exam and now you're failing me like this?
So what did you do?
I mean, thank God it was a multiple choice. I was like, when I tell you that I was the first person out of this exam of 4,000 people, first person out, I passed the exam. Thank God.
Oh, thank goodness.
I know.
Oh, incredible.
Thank you so much.
Uh-huh.
Congratulations.
But literally, like, I was blindly filling in dots.
Now, were you coming from a place of fear? Like, if I fail this, then like this is the end for my academic career? Like, what was on the line that caused it? Or was it just
it wasn't like performance anxiety? Again, it was just like other trauma and shit that had happened in my past. Like, for whatever reason, something in that room was a trigger. And like, that's what I'm saying, like, sometimes it's not attached to a certain event or moment that like makes sense and correlates directly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm sure it was something totally random. Like, I was in a relationship where my boyfriend had epilepsy and one of his seizures like sent him into a coma for 4 days, first one. So like, there was a lot to unpack there with a handful of different therapists. And so like, I think a lot of random things attached to that scenario would trigger things that didn't necessarily have a direct correlation.
So you had this panic attack freshman or first year of university and then you're like, I got to do something about this. I need to go see a therapist. Was it like an immediate one-two response?
Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty lucky in that my mom worked in healthcare and my family is all like very like mental health positive.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone was like on board. Like, it wasn't like, oh, like shut up, like, and suck it up, like figure it out. Like,
Oh, that's very important. So you're a Fanta girl? You're a Fantana.
I told someone the other day that I've been friends with forever that I was a Fantana, and they thought that it was like, out of everything that I've accomplished in my career, that was the one thing that they thought mattered the most.
Were you in the commercials?
Yeah.
She was on billboards like all around LA. Yeah. What were you a representative of a flavor, or was it?
So that was their whole campaign, is that I'm a terrible Fantana. I don't remember what the actual slogan was, but it was like a mix it up, be your own flavor. So it was like a spinoff of like, you remember how like all the girls were like a specific color?
Yes.
Like that was the iconic commercial.
Right. A different flavor.
This was like, oh, fuck.
You would wear like the pictures I saw or around time, like you'd be wearing purple, but you'd be holding the orange one.
Yes, so it was
a mix match.
So it was a mix match situation where it was like, be unique, be who you are, like mix it up.
Uh-huh.
And so we weren't a specific flavor.
What was the casting process like for that? How did you land in the world of the Fanta?
It was...
It was a brand deal.
Yeah. So there was no like YouTube component of it, but it was like social promo on like Twitter and Instagram.
That's so cool, though. It was you, Ava Gutowski,
Jordan Fisher, and Coco Jones.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
We'll be right back after a quick word from today's sponsor.
Mike, we're busy guys.
We are. We do a lot.
We like to stay active, and we like to stay comfortable at the same time.
And I don't really like thinking about what I want to wear. I don't like having to pick and choose different option styles. So I embrace the radically efficient Mack Weldon Daily Wear System.
Ooh.
You like the way that sounds?
I do.
It rolls off the tongue nicely.
And I've embraced it as well.
Oh, I know.
The Daily Wear System is a selection of clothes rooted in smart design, made with performance fabrics and built to work together.
From breathable t-shirts and polos to stylish button-ups and shorts, underwear, and beyond, Mack Weldon makes it easier to dress for work, leisure, and play.
Or wherever the season takes you.
I actually like on the inside of the waistband, it says for daily wear. It really makes me feel better when I put it on every day. I'm like, yeah, this is supposed to be worn every day. And that's exactly what I'm doing.
They're like my new favorite workout pants. Like when I have to work out, I'm like, where's my Mack Weldon? I don't want to wear anything else except Mack Weldon now.
And when it's time to like put on your pants for the day, what I call my home jersey, you know, you have your outdoor clothes, you have your indoor clothes, but when I wear my home gear, my home jersey, when I'm playing a home game, it's Mack Weldon top to bottom. And it just makes starting the day easier when you don't need to think about, oh, what am I going to wear today? Do I wear these sweatpants? Do I wear these socks? Do I wear this shirt? No, just Mack Weldon top to bottom every day.
And for the ultimate lazy Sunday, their Ace sweat shorts have modern tailoring and pair perfectly with their ultra soft, ultra upgraded Pima tees.
For weekend travels, both near and far, their silver knit polo and radius shorts are the perfect high tech, highly packable combo.
So buy some this season with Mack Weldon's Daily Wear System.
For 20% off your first order, go to mackweldon.com/hoot and use code hoot.
That's mackweldon.com/hoot. Use the promo code hoot, HOOT, for 20% off your first order.
That's Mack Weldon, MackWeldon, radically efficient wardrobing. And now back to the episode. To turn the tables on this conversation that we're just having, do you have what you would consider a best day of your life?
A best day of my life?
Like when you think back, like that was the best day of my life.
Best day of my life. Oh my God. This is a question I even need like 2 weeks of prep to like properly answer.
It doesn't have to be the best, but it stands out. It's not the bestest like day of your life.
The best of the only day that matters in your life. You could only keep one.
Right.
No, this is like when you think back, like, oh, what a great day that was.
I mean, I want to say something like on vacation, because like life just doesn't feel real when you're on vacation. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking of like sometime in Hawaii with my boyfriend or like Fiji. Like those are the times when like things just feel like so oddly perfect that nothing feels real because you're like detached from like your email and your phone from like getting calls and like the drama of anything else happening.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe also I'm like, does that mean that I have like deep problems with like my day-to-day life that I'm like my best day is when I'm nowhere near my actual life? Yeah, probably something like that. What's your answer? What are your guys' answers?
When I played music, I played guitar with Chad Smith from the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Oh, fun.
When I was like 22.
Oh, yeah.
Was a great day.
Like a standout day.
Yeah, that was a good one. The day that I met Matt was a pretty good day.
Was a good day. But you know, little did we know, looking back on it, it has become one of the best days.
That's it was pretty monumental. I'll look at it like that. Like it's the best day of my life because we're sitting here now 5 years later because of that day. Mm-hmm. It was just a standard day, but like looking back, you can only connect the dots looking backwards. But Matt, do you have a best day of your life?
I kind of like, there's two that like come up in my head. One was probably when I went to see Groundhog Day, like the actual like day in Punxsutawney. And I brought this up many, many times.
Oh my God, you went to go see actual Groundhog Day?
Yes, we did.
In Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania.
In Punxsutawney, you know, it happens only once a year where the groundhog predicts if it's going to be a late winter and early spring.
Yeah.
And we went with like my uncle, my cousins, my dad, and my brother. And it's out, you know, in the middle of nowhere in like Pennsylvania, and it's freezing cold. And it was my idea, like, mm-hmm. to go and see the groundhog.
It's because like Matt's trip.
My cousins were from like Pittsburgh, and I'm like, it would work if we all flew out there. We can go, but it's freezing cold. You have to walk like 2 miles up to Gobbler's Knob. And Gobbler's in my Knob. Head, I was like thinking, hopefully it's going to be in early spring. That'd be really exciting. But I was having like kind of this anxiety thinking like, this was a bad idea. Everyone is going to be miserable.
And
this
men,
was like,
mad at
this
you.
Was a stupid thing to do. Yeah. We get there.
And the early spring does not happen frequently. It's no. like one it's every like 10 years.
It's like a 20 or 30% chance okay. where he okay. calls it. And we were there and we were just drinking Fireball, you know, in the freezing cold, laughing, joking, watching this small town do this ceremony. And they said, and they bring out Phil the groundhog, speaks to them with groundhoggese. They give their big
the prognostication.
Prognostication, and they say that it's going to be an early spring, and just the crowd went nuts. My dad, my brother, my uncle, my cousin, we were just like in tears of joy.
I was
like,
crying.
Wow, this is so awesome. And I was crying. God. And just going from like that moment of like, was this a bad idea? This was stupid to do, to it being like, that was the one of the best fun things we could have done as like an outing for just for no
right,
you know, real reason that's not a normal holiday. That was a really good day. That was a really, wow. really good day. And we were just like so happy that that was like a really good trip. That one. And then probably when I was at Coachella, when at Coachella 2019.
The last one that we went to?
Where like David had that house and Brockhampton came over.
Oh, yeah.
And they were like, oh my God, that's cool.
Big fan of Brockhampton and like yeah. hanging out with them. And they were like, no, we know who you are. Like, bro, you're cool. And becoming like friends with them. That was just a really awesome day. And that one like sticks out with me.
Yeah, that like, was a cool one. Were you gonna predict a best day of your life if you didn't have, if you couldn't think of one specifically? Like, is there a perfect day in your mind that you could paint the picture of?
No, I guess not. Because I'm also thinking, okay, so I have more now that I've had like two answers times worth to like reflect. There's like it's not like a specific day that I'm thinking about, but there was just like a period of time where my family and a few other families goes up to this cottage, which I think is more commonly referred to as a cabin here.
Yeah, no, yeah, a cottage. Yeah. We go to a yeah. lake cottage every
yeah,
year.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So if everyone's like, so you're staying in like the Three Baby Bear Goldilocks thing, and they're like, no, it's like a cabin.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like on a beach on like a little lake, and it's very cute, and like you just hang and drink on the beach all day, and you play games, you do campfire, and then the week that we go every year has shooting stars, and wow. like because you're in like a very remote like lake wilderness area. Up in like Canada, it's I mean there's just like no pollution, so like the sky is so clear, and even me being nearsighted as fuck, like the stars are so bright and the shooting stars are so massive. It's like a specific week in August where there are insane shooting stars, just like one after the other. It's like I forget what it's called. It's like a specific meteor shower that yeah. happens. But yeah, that's always like again one of those times where like life doesn't feel real.
Mm-hmm.
But yes. You're not a big planets, like when you don't look out and see Mars and be like, oh my God, that's Mars.
No, I don't think my vision's good enough to be really into space.
Mike was doing that at the wedding. He's like, guys, that's Saturn. And that's Mercury.
A lot of people don't know that you can see a lot of the planets most nights. Like really? Right now, Venus is like incredibly visible.
Do you go charge your crystals?
I don't believe in that side of it. I don't believe in like, you know, oh, this is no, but like you can see that there's
yeah,
a blue
no,
planet
cool.
and like
yeah.
and when I lived in Brooklyn, you can see Mars basically like every night. And you don't think Whoa. That when you're living in Brooklyn, you can see another planet, but like yeah. to go out and look out your window and see a red planet, like that's pretty cool. So I have a couple apps on my phone that like you can point up at the sky, and like as you're moving your phone around, it tells you where the planets are.
That's a fun. See, you invest in companies like that, and people who come with ideas like that.
That's the key.
Because that's a really cool app.
Maybe you just found out that they were making it up the whole time.
And they're just like, when you point up the sky, they're just showing you cool things, so you want to use the app over and over again.
I mean, the planets have been around for millions of years. I don't think that people are making up.
Can I identify like a UFO though? Like, well, we don't know what this is. Like, I don't know.
I don't know if they're going to give you like snarky feedback when you like put it in the app, but I don't know. It's a cool, it's just like the planets, but they also have the constellations. Like you can see,
that's cool.
Orion's Belt or whatever.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like sometimes there will be something in LA. Like there a couple months ago, there was like the International Space Station flew directly overhead of Los Angeles. Were you there?
We missed it because we were recording unfiltered.
It was like a 2 minute thing. It was like right at sunset, and there was 2 minutes where you can literally see the International Space Station where there's like 12 people on going like this. It took like 2 minutes to go across.
How big did it look? Was it like a dot, or was it kind of like a?
It looked like a. It looked like a shiny dot. So it's like it was definitely wasn't an airplane, and it was like super shiny, mm-hmm. and it was moving really fast because it circles the Earth.
Hang on. We need to adjust this.
I'm a big like holding in my sneeze.
I used to hold in my sneezes for years.
Because I feel like my sneezes are really loud.
Fadi told me that every time we have like a massage guy that comes like over and fixes all our backs. Uh-huh. He told me that every time you hold in a sneeze, it creates a knot in your back.
I've never had to like get like a back therapist like massage.
I'm sure if you got a massage or like a someone to like, do your back.
Do you not let your sneezes though? He would know.
I just don't have back pain. Like my back feels must fine.
How old are you again? Are you 29?
29.
Also, you work out a lot too.
I feel like I have more back pain because I work out.
Yeah. What kind of workouts are you doing?
Boxing weights.
Oh yeah, you're really throwing it around. Like
yeah.
I don't work out at all. I used to. When Matt lived down the street, I would go to the tunnel. But now that he lives here, it's a little bit more of a hike. But
should come over still. You know.
I know.
It's worth the drive for the tunnel.
Yeah.
I know. I'm really into planets, though, and I think it's pretty cool.
I like the idea of planets, but there's a degree where it's just like, it's so far, I'm not going to go there. It's cool to look at. I'm more interested in, like, what bone is right here in my hand and, like, identifying it. Like, WebMD, like, just knowing, like,
Are you a hypochondriac?
Not a little bit. I'm not going to convince myself that I have cancer. I have some huge disease. Okay. I just, like, I never know. Like, I always think I'm having appendicitis or, like, gallstones, kidney stones. I'm like, today's the day.
This is when your thing bursts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't make sense to me that we get our wisdom teeth, like, removed to prevent crowding and stuff. But knowing that we have this, like, appendix that
you don't actually
has
need.
A chance of bursting.
Yeah.
And
you think
it
should be like standard routine to take out the appendix?
Just get rid of it. It
like
has
the
no
foreskin.
Because I don't want to. Yeah, I don't. Well, that's a whole nother conversation with me about foreskin.
Wait, we talked about this.
I know we did. Yeah. Oh, we talked about it in your podcast.
I think so.
I think, yeah. I'm very passionate about it. It gets Patricia very angry when I bring it up at parties. But I think just
don't
our appendix.
Foreskin at parties. I would agree with her.
I just worry about backpacking in Thailand and like, this is the day my appendix bursts. Or no, it's your wedding day. Your appendix bursts.
I'm like that friend that has like a whole, I'm like a walking pharmacy where I've got like everything in my purse at all times.
Uh-huh. What do you have right now? What's in the pharmacy?
My bag's in the car, but I probably have a Tums, a Pepto, an ibuprofen, and a Xanax.
Oh, you're a great travel companion probably, right?
Yeah. Like you need a tampon?
You got it.
Yeah, I got the whole kit.
That's always good to like when you're traveling too, to have someone who has like the pharmacy, like I need a headache or like I need a melatonin to sleep or something. I never have any of that stuff. I'm just
Yeah, you never have like Advil at your house. No.
You don't have Advil at your house?
I don't take anything ever.
He doesn't.
So what do you mean you have a headache?
Drink water.
The fuck kind of answer is that?
That doesn't.
I'm telling you what I do. I drink some water. I feel better.
But
we
like,
obviously
for
don't
guests.
Get the same kind of headaches.
For guests,
like sometimes people
come over to Walgreens and get some Advil if a guest needs Advil.
But you get the little tiny. He'll come over back with a little packet. Packet. So it's just like, all right, here it is for now. But like,
not the bottle.
Yeah, that's it.
I don't. Where am I going to keep a bottle of Advil
in your cabinet?
And it's going to go bad because I'm not going to use it for 7 years, and it's going to go bad.
Advil lasts a long time, doesn't it?
Like 4 years,
yeah.
I think.
Oh, I okay.
Maybe even just a travel size bottle.
I just feel like every time I move, I find like Tylenol from 2013. And I'm like, why have I been keeping a bottle? If I need it, I'll just go get it
for other people.
Wait, don't you have a girlfriend?
Now I do, but she has all that stuff.
Oh, this is like Matt in the bag conversation.
Patricia, though, purse. I feel like sometimes just she always like will have like, she's like, oh, that acid reflux. I'm like, well, get a Tums. She's like, I don't have any Tums. I'm like, then what? Like, just get it.
Yeah.
Because she'll like buy like the tiny little Rolaids like what you do.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
It's like, that's fine. And then when I'm having something, she's like,
Sorry. Hmm. Yeah. I mean, I have tummy trouble. So I just like, I keep all that stuff. I can stay strapped.
Yeah.
With Pepto and Tums.
Okay.
Yeah. I get acid reflux a lot.
Yeah, not fun.
I feel like you know so much more about life than I do.
Lauren's a wise gal.
You know what? Jeremy tells me all the time that I like, they're like, your life is so sheltered. You've never been out in the world.
I would disagree with that.
You know what it is that I've been to a zoo. That's what
Yes, that's it. That's the difference. It's
you just
the
seem
zoo.
So cultured and wise.
Yeah, the uncanny valley effect. There's the zoo effect. And there's the people who have been to a zoo and those who haven't. And you will see a line. That so you got Craftopia, your YouTube channel, give your podcast Wild Till 9. Mm-hmm. What else are you working on? Anything else that you want to plug? You also have some really cool merch you guys are putting out, right?
Yeah, we do pretty cute merch.
You made like a university style sweater. A
little varsity moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Looks pretty sick.
Yeah. I feel like varsity's back in right now, big time.
What do you mean? Like varsity? Like
varsity style sweaters?
Yes.
Yeah. Like I feel like vintage varsity came back in. It's mm-hmm. really popular. So then I tried to recreate vintage varsity, but new.
That's neat. I know. Right when I saw that, I was like, damn, I wish we thought of that.
You should do it. You it's think cute. So?
We yeah. should make like our own like vintage like university.
Yeah. I never played any sports, so that would be cool for me to have a...
Right?
Definitely.
I always thought those kids were so cool when they were in high school. Like
I'm not talking about Letterman jackets.
Oh, then I don't know.
We'll show you a picture after. It's like varsity.
Just like a vintage varsity university
looking like team like...
Yeah.
My new thing is that I'm a big NFT nerd.
Do you really?
I have some, yeah.
I'm having like the biggest NFT like FOMO. Though my friend is about to give me like some NFTs. Can I say that?
Yeah.
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 I'm getting some NFTs.
Getting some NFTs.
I follow a Twitter account called Crypto Bros Taking L's, and it's just all these like crypto bros
like
who are
losing hella money.
And yes, and also just like someone who's just like, I just bought my first NFT, and then someone responds like, well, I have it right here too, right click save, and they're like, I'm gonna get my lawyer to come after you because I own this.
God.
And I'm just like, okay, that's not it's really funny.
Are you so,
yeah,
are ahead. You minting any of your own NFTs?
No. Okay. I feel like my audience would be like, what the fuck is in
how are you spotting the new hype?
Because I feel like there's so many.
There's
like,
so
how do you
many.
Know? Did you just luck of the draw found one that was?
I mean, I think it's like as soon as you start talking to other people who are kind of like in it, you just it's like word of mouth and like word of Discord.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's hard. Like getting started was the hardest part of being like, okay, what? Like
what? OpenSea?
Yeah.
You got your ETH wallet. ETH.
Yeah, got my MetaMask.
Oh,
doesn't Jeremy work in NFTs?
Yeah, he works at crypto.com.
See,
oh, so she's have a got real nice in on that.
The connect.
Okay, that's great.
No, it's so nice. Like genuinely to be able to ask stupid questions.
Yeah,
it's so much easier. And also, like, I don't care if I waste his time asking stupid questions.
Yeah,
where it's like I would never go like try and bug Gary V. Be like, hey, what's an NFT? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Well, we got to come over sometime, and he's got to teach us some
Jeremy stupid
crypto
questions.
101.
Yeah. I would like to hang out again. This was super fun.
This was great. I know we need to have you back, like with Jeremy, or just Jeremy by himself. Hear all the stuff that he would want to say behind your back.
Yeah,
for sure.
It's got lots.
You're
got
a total
lots.
Delight to be around, Lauren, and
that
I'm
so
excited.
Hang on. So Jeremy's mom, the very first time I met her, called me a delight, and it's Jeremy's least favorite word. And I'll be like, babe, I'm a fucking delight. And I can't wait for him to hear you say that I'm a delight again.
You are. And you're incredibly talented. And I feel like you can do anything. And I
that
kind of will
so
not
nice.
Be surprised because I know you're going to succeed in it
that
no matter what.
So nice. Well, thank you for having me.
It was a pleasure having you. So yeah, guys, check out Lauren all over the internet. Check out her podcast as well, Wild Till 9. I was a guest on there. It's a really great combo. If you want to watch it, listen to it, check it out. Much love to you guys. Have
we'll
a great week. Bye-bye.